We're planning a return trip to Israel and Jordan next year. And it's October 31st to November 11th, 2022. And Pastor Jack and I are heading it up, along with the help of Ed and Robin Sustek from the Liberty Church. There's a sign-up sheet on the table. And the sign-up sheet is just for interested parties. In other words, if you want to learn more about it, put your name down. Doesn't obligate you to go. There are packets on the table. It looks like this. It's got cost information. It's got itinerary, the details about the trip. And just want to roll this out to the congregation. And if there's anybody interested, you can put your name down and we'll be in touch. 2 weeks from today, we're going to have an informational meeting here in the sanctuary at 1 o'clock. And we're just going to talk about the trip, answer questions, share with you what we know. And that's next. Wow, the trip is October 31 through November 11th of 2022. So help yourself if you want to grab a packet on the way out, and we'll talk more about it. Now, I'm going to go back to the message. How's that? So the title of the message, let me do a rewind, is the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Said it three times, right? But the point is this. I want us as a church to know what the main thing is. And it can basically be summarized in one word. It's called people. It's all about people. And so when Stephen Covey and when Jesus makes the proclamation, go and make disciples of all nations, it's in your notes, go and make disciples. And there's a slide there, Jack, you can put that up. In other words, people are God's agenda. Not programs or buildings, but it's all about people. Because Jesus died for you and for me, people. And so I want to talk about the main thing this morning. And I've got two sections of this message. The first is this. I want to talk about the stages in the pandemic. And this is my view of the last 1 year and 7 months. Of things that we walk through. They're big picture stages, okay? And then after getting through that, I want to talk about refocusing the church. You see, I think over the last year and 7 months, we've lost focus on the main thing. And I'll tell you why as we journey through these stages. So the first part is stages in the pandemic. And here's number one. The first stage is what I'll call from March 2020 to March 2021 is we have been disrupted from the rhythms of life. Let me explain that. There was a stage of disruption. So here's how it worked out. People and kids that were in person in learning went to online. Some loved it, some did not, struggled with it. Parents had to decide. Do I stay home with my kids? I'm working. How does this all work now? Some people were essential workers. Some were classified non-essential. They work from home. Depends on your bucket, the category you're defined as. Family gatherings were suspended. I mean, people didn't get together for a long period of time for fear and out of concern for other family members and COVID. Public gatherings. Those were curtailed. People didn't go out as frequently or often to restaurants. And even the church, we shut down for 16 weeks during that early stage. And we went 16 Sundays outside, and we never got rained out. Isn't that amazing? 16 Sundays. This year we tried it, and we got rained on a lot. There you go. And so the point is, even in the fall, we shut down again for a period of time, but we were disrupted from the rhythms of life. We get that. We understand that. I mean, it was an awkward time. And then about the first part of the year, maybe about in April, so we started to turn the corner back to some normal rhythms or this sense of just what we used to do. We're not totally there, but we're getting better, which leads to the second stage. I call this the distracted stage. We were distracted in what's most important in life. Now let me explain that. Once we started to return from the disruption, and it says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord's purpose that prevails. We had plans, but we had to allow God's purposes to be carried forth. And let me say, I don't think God caused the pandemic. I don't think he causes bad things, but he uses them. He uses them to turn our hearts to him. So his purposes are prevailed. But when we think about the distraction stage, and I call that from April to October of this year, Paul writes in Colossians 1 some key verses, or Colossians 3. Let's read it together. It's in your notes. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. I want you to circle two words. One is the word hearts, and the other is minds. Hearts and minds. You see, here's what happened. During the distraction stage of the last 6 months, we became distracted of the main thing. So the main thing is to keep the main thing. You know what it is? It's people. And Paul says, listen, set your hearts and your minds on the right kind of things. Now, I'm just going to share and be real honest these next few comments. In your notes, there have been two major distractions. There's probably more, but these are the two, and you can write these down. Letter A. The first major distraction is our politics. Letter B, the second major distraction is the vaccine and the virus. Now, I'm not here to say this side is right and this side is wrong. I will respect your opinion. We will respect other people's opinions. That's just who we are. So I'm not here to say this or that, but those two issues, listen, have distracted us as a kingdom-minded person. Let me explain that. I want you to think about your conversations over the past year, or even take 6 months. How much airtime have you given politics or the vaccine in your conversation? And then listen, I want you to compare that with the third category, and that is your kingdom-mindedness of sharing the gospel with other people. I want you to do a pie chart in your head. How much time do I talk about politics? How much time have I talked about the vaccine? And then thirdly, how much time have we spent keeping the main thing, which is we're on mission to share a message of grace to people that can change their life, change their eternity. It can transform them in the earthly journey. Heaven will be their future home. It's to rescue them from hell itself. How much time have we put into category three of sharing the message of grace with other people? A few weeks back, we had two people come up from the Country Home Security. They manage our security systems for the fire alarm as well as the security system. And TJ and Alicia came, and they were here in the sanctuary doing some work on one of the units that wasn't working. And we had a great conversation, and Alicia said this. She said, she says, the enemy is using these issues to distract us. In other words, politics and vaccine, as we talk so much about them, Satan is using us to distract the church, us, from keeping the main thing. And as I reflected on that, and over the past 6 months especially, I came to realize we as a people have been a distracted people. Now, the disruption we just had to roll with, I totally get that. Even the distraction, I've been distracted. You know why? I don't know. The volume of what I speak about will tell me whether I'm keeping the main thing. So when you look at your own life, when you assess your 6 months going backward, where are you putting your time and energy into? the news feeds, conversations at work? Is it about more politics or the vaccine, the virus, or is it about kingdom-mindedness of reaching out to other people who need grace and keeping that a priority? Read with me 2 Timothy 2:23 in your notes. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. I have a sister in Iowa. I got a brother in Missouri. We have different views on things, whether it be politics or even the virus and the vaccine. And I came to realize this when I went to a family reunion back in June, just to get together. I realized before I left, I had to be careful. You know why? I could lose a friendship with a family member if I did not handle that topic properly. I mean, everybody here gets that. You've heard of people in families that aren't talking one to another over maybe one of these issues. I mean, we all understand that. But listen closely. Paul wrote this. He says, I'm going to forgive anybody for, you know, in Jesus' name, in order that Satan may not outwit us. For we are not unaware of his schemes. In other words, understand in the big picture, the enemy will try to outwit us in his scheme to distract us from the main thing. You know how he does it? He uses what's going on in our culture. It's called politics, and it's called the virus and the vaccine. And when I went out to this family get-together, I knew I had to be careful. And you and I need to be careful. And it's not which position a person will take, it's how we respond to it. You see, we have to be respectful. Don't allow the enemy to cause you to lose relationships with people because they have a different view politically or they have a different view about the vaccine. Just don't do it. You know why? The enemy wants to lead you down that path. And I feel as a church, we over a period of time because of the disruption, we became a distracted people, including myself. I'll put myself in there. So stage one was the disruption. Stage two was this time of distraction. Let me talk to you about the stage three. It's in your notes. Stage three is when we are directed by the Holy Spirit in the priorities of life. In other words, we must submit to and look into the scriptures of what our priorities should be, November 2021 onward. How do we get directed by the Holy Spirit? How do we get back on track? How do we refocus? Have you ever seen a pigeon and they have a jerky neck? You know what scientists say the pigeon is doing? They are constantly refocusing their retina on where they're going. And that's why there's a constant jerkiness to it. They continue to refocus. See, you and I need to continue to refocus and be directed by the Holy Spirit in what the main thing is that we need to be about in our life. So let me give you a couple thoughts on how we can be directed by the Holy Spirit. Letter A. You and I must prioritize kingdom work. We need to prioritize it. Read with me Matthew 6:31 to 33 in your notes. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I want you to circle two words. Run after. Run after. You see, Jesus said, hey, people will run after stuff. But he says, I want you to be careful. I want you to keep the main thing the main thing, which is seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. So I came up with two questions to evaluate where we are at whether we are keeping the main thing the main thing. Here's number one. Do you and I have time for kingdom pursuits? Kingdom pursuits. Let me give you some examples. Your devotional life. Church attendance, Sunday morning. How about life group? Or time to serve other people. Depending on how we answer that, will determine whether we are running after the wrong things. We have too much time into different categories of life, rather than keeping the priority of the kingdom on our radar for God to use our life going forward. So Jesus said, hey, prioritize kingdom work in your life. Jesus said, put me first. I mean, use your life, surrender it, and I will bless you from doing that. And letter B, the second thing we can do is this. We need to offer yourself to God himself. So the first thing is we prioritize kingdom work. Secondly, we offer ourselves to God. Read with me Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. You see, we just need to be available. And the second question, I didn't cover that earlier, is this. When you get to the end of the week to evaluate your own life, is your tank filled up or is it empty? And the way you answer that will determine if we're running after the wrong thing or the right thing. You know, do I have time for kingdom pursuits? Secondly, is my tank empty or full when I get to the end of the week? Jesus said, hey, prioritize the kingdom and then offer yourself. And when you do that, he says, all these other things will be added unto you. So when you think about the stages of the pandemic, I think we were disrupted. We were distracted, but we were entering into a stage of being directed by the Holy Spirit to align ourselves with his purposes. Which leads me to the second part of this message, and it's this. Refocusing the church. Refocusing who we are. So we all understand Jesus said, go into all the world and go and make disciples of all nations. I mean, that's his command, and it's all about people. So I want us to refocus today. Now, I want to share with you one of the biggest takeaways from the 50 days of transformation that I personally had when walking through that seven-week period. And it came from a message I read by Pastor Rick Warren. And here's what he said. Back in 1980, he set a 40-year goal for his church to go to every nation in the world. 1980 to 2020. And I'm reading that and said, whoa, amazing, a 40-year goal. And they accomplished that. I think they got there early. You know, his peace plan and different things, they've touched every nation. And what spoke to my heart was this. What if we as a church set a 40-year goal, 2021 current year through 2061, a 40-year goal, and you know what the goal is? Why can't we touch every nation on the globe in some way? Now, I got to be honest with you, in 2061, I'm going to be 105. You're laughing. How old are you going to be? You're not going to tell. Pauline's going to be 131. You got to borrow a couple. Now, this goal might outlive some of us, all right? Probably will. So, Robert, listen closely. Olivia, you're on the hook. Listen, a 40-year goal. Why can't we as a church say, God, here we are. We want to touch every nation in the world in some way. And so as I thought about this, it took root in my heart, and there's three ways we can do this, and I want to walk through them with you. number one in your notes, we want to pray for all 195 countries. We can do that today. And on the table, there's a packet. It's a listing. It says, countries in the world, alphabetical, 195. Now, the UN recognizes 193, all right? So there's two that are kind of in limbo. But if you want to take this as a prayer packet, grab one on your way out. It lists them all out. 195 countries. And we can touch the world through prayer. And so read with me the verses in your notes under point number one. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. Step number one, one of three, the way we touch the world is we can pray for 195 countries that God would just bless them. Okay, step number two. The second thing we can do to touch the world is this. The plan would be to give $500 gift to a worthy ministry in each country. Now, let me explain that. Beginning with the 2022 budget, we're going to put in $2,000 in a missions line. And the purpose of that is to bless four countries with a $500 gift. We'll have to research a worthy ministry. Pat will help out with that. She's done a great job with coming up with some basic numbers. And we'll do that over 40 years. $500. Go and make disciples of all nations. It's within reach. It's something we could do. It may outlive some of us. We've already blessed about 24 countries through mission trips, Operation Christmas Child, child sponsorship, and special products. We're going to count those. We kind of already done that. We got a list of them. But the point is this. We can be a blessing to the world, even in a small way. And I want you as a church family, I want you to embrace the fact when Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, we can touch the world, 195 countries over 40 years, and just be a blessing to them. Why? Life's about people. Keep the main thing in your life. And we want to do that as a church. Now, in sharing this with the board, we're planning to do a Christmas offering. And the Christmas offering, there's going to be two choices. Choice number one, if a person is more local, they love local stuff, the Helping Hands Fund that Shirley and Butch and Mary oversee, you can give towards that if you want, if you feel so led. So that stays local. The second option is this. Maybe you want to adopt a country. And maybe you can do the full 500 or just part of it, whatever works for you. And you say, I'm going to give an offering to touch this nation. Now, I'll be up front. I'm laying claims to the Czech Republic. I'm going to come up with the money some way, and I'm going to give that as a Christmas offering. I have family there. It's close to my heart. And I just, Czech Republic, that's me. Maybe there's a family lineage you have that you say, whoa, I want to do this. But here's the point. We want to touch the world, the nations, even if it's a small way, to be a global local church. And we'll do it by just one country at a time, which leads me to this point. You see the flags here in front of you? There's five in this little holder. We've purchased 193 flags. They're all 12 inches by 18 inches. It was privately funded. And here's the plan. Once we touch a nation, we're going to hang a flag up in the Harvey Center. And over the years, we're just going to watch the flags continue to be hung up until there's 193 of them. You see, we want to have a visual reinforcement of what we're doing. And so, yeah, when a nation gets touched, we're going to hang a flag up. We're going to put a sign up in the Harvey Center that the words of Jesus, go and make disciples of all nations. And people will walk in the church and they'll say, well, what are the flags all about? Some are empty spaces. And we will say, hey, we have a 40-year goal. I may not be above ground yet, but we have a 40-year goal. And I want us as a church to embrace the focus factor of what that means. Now, in a couple weeks or next Sunday, there's going to be different people sharing their takeaway from the 50 days of transformation. And they're going to be up here sharing some key thoughts. That'll be great. The next Sunday, listen, I want to share another message of how we go make disciples locally. I mean, this is the big picture. This is the world. And yet, 2 weeks from today, I want to share how we do it locally, all right? We want to do both. So one last thing. If you have a phone, you have permission to pull it out now if you want. John Clark and I were in the kitchen for a funeral meal a few weeks back, and we were talking about this goal. And so we pulled out our phones, and we went to the year 2061. And we put a date on the calendar as a celebration marker for the 40 years. So hey, if you want, I've got a date in mind. I changed it November 6th. That's like 40 years from, it's a Sunday, so we'll anchor to that. It's a date where we will say, hey, we're going to do a celebration event, and you're invited to it, okay? Right, Robert? Right? But the point is, hey, We want to be steadfast in this sense of making disciples. And I get excited thinking about, as a local church in Walton, New York, we have a 40-year goal, and we want to touch the world over that time, and it's greatly possible. Okay, the last thing I want to mention, the third way we touch the world is this. We will pray that God will send individuals from this church, and we will track this, to 195 countries over 40 years. That's a big prayer. When you go to a country to serve in some way, whether it's a few days or it could be a year, who knows, we want to track that. And we're going to offer ourselves up to God and say, God, here we are in Walton, New York. We want to touch the world. We want to pray for all these countries. We want to send $500 to each country over a 40-year period, and we just want to track that. But then, listen, you may be a person that God has not even spoken to you yet, and yet God will send you to be a blessing to other people just because you're available. And so it's exciting to think God can send individuals from here, and we're going to just ask him to do it for the entire 195 countries. So what is this all about? Here's what it's about. We want to keep the main thing, the main thing. This is about being focused on our mission. It's about people. It's about disciples. And I thought, how exciting that we could embrace a goal as a church, 40-year goal, to make this happen. It'll outlive most of us, but it's a good goal. 2 weeks from today, as I said, we're going to be talking about how we do that locally as well. So, stages in the pandemic, we've kind of walked through those. We land on this. We need to be directed by the Holy Spirit and let him refocus us, because we want to eliminate the distractions that the enemy uses to keep us from the main thing. And when we do that, we get focused on what's important to God's heart, and we're going to pray for all the countries. We're going to give $500 to worthy ministries in each country over that time period. And then, wow, we're going to pray that God will send people, us, you, to these countries over a 40-year period. We just never know what God will do, but we're going to offer ourselves to him for that purpose. In a few moments, Pastor Jack's going to come and lead us in the communion ritual. But here's a map, just a picture of the of the world, and I want you just to look at it. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to get focused. That you and I, a little church in Walton, New York, can touch the world. It takes all of us. I want you to absorb, I want you to get focused on that. Get excited about it. And here's the verse that motivates us, Matthew chapter 28. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." You and I have the privilege of doing that and being a part of it. And I hope it resonates in your heart that we want to help fulfill that mandate that Jesus gave to us. Let's bow for prayer. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to take just a few moments and ask yourself a question. Is there anything you need to get refocused on? I mean, is the main thing the main thing in your life? Or is there some area where you say, "God, I need to get a better balance here. I'm out of whack. I need to refocus that. I need to be all about people, not allowing cultural issues of politics and the vaccine to derail me or distract me from the main thing." Just let him speak to your heart about that. And then I want you to just pray this simple prayer, if it's in your heart, that Isaiah prayed. When he heard God's voice saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." I want you to offer yourself to God. Say, "God, here I am, send me." Maybe for you it means just a place of personal surrender in your heart. Father, as we prepare for communion, I pray you'll do a deep work of refocusing our lives. Forgive me, Lord, for getting out of balance and out of priority. And I pray for us as a church that we will keep the main thing in your kingdom and prioritize your work in our lives. And so, Lord, we just offer ourselves right now. We open our hearts. We open our souls. We open our spirits to you. And we pray that you will just take us, use us, and send us. And we pray a prayer for the next 40 years that, God, you will fulfill this goal that we have as a church through the people that are here and even through the people that are yet to come. And we will give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.